Let us continue to worship our God as we give our attention to His holy word as it comes to us in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 39 and 40, as we continue this morning in our series in the gospel according to St. Luke. Here, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, Luke wrote these wonderful, amazing, mysterious, saving words of life concerning our Savior. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 39, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Gracious Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill the hearts of your people in a special way as we look into your word, that you would open our eyes to see our Savior, that you would move in our hearts so as to make us more like Him. Assure us of our Father's love and embolden us, as has already been prayed, to be courageous witnesses for Jesus, showing His sacrificial love to our needy world. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, so far in Luke's account of the good news of Jesus, we have read about Jesus' miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit, his birth in Bethlehem on Christmas Day, his circumcision on the eighth day of Christmas, the eighth day of his life, and most recently, his presentation at the temple in Jerusalem on the 40th day of his life. In our passage this morning, Luke summarizes what happened next by telling us that after Mary and Joseph had fulfilled their pilgrimage to Jerusalem and made the requisite offerings there, they eventually went to Nazareth, where Jesus would grow up. And it is this growing up that Luke summarized here in verse 40, and to which we give our attention this morning. The growth, the maturation, the human development of our Lord. So let's consider his development and what it has to teach us this morning under two headings. First, the human development of Jesus, and second, why this is important for you and me. First, the human development of Jesus. Between verses 39 and 41 of Luke chapter 2, in other words, in verse 40, Luke summarized 12 years of Jesus' life in one verse. From the time he was presented to the temple when he was 40 days old to the time he was being precocious in the temple when he was 12 years old. We'll look at that amazing passage next week, Lord willing. But what comes to the fore here in verse 40 as Luke summarized 12 years of Jesus' life is the genuine humanity of Jesus. The genuine, authentic, true humanity of Jesus, as we sang earlier, true man, yet very God. Here, he's emphasizing the true man part. It is a reminder to us that Jesus wasn't pretending to be human. He didn't merely appear to be human. He didn't go through the motions of being human. He really was conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, as we confessed earlier from the Nicene Creed, or as the Westminster Standards put it, of the substance, that is, the human substance of Mary, or as the Heidelberg Catechism beautifully puts it, in our Confession of Faith, printed in our evening bulletin. It'll be our Confession of Faith this evening as we're working our way through the Heidelberg Catechism on Sunday evening. It's founding the Apostles' Creed. It asks this: what does it mean that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? And it answers, it means that the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit, from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a true human nature, so that he might also become David's true descendant, like his brothers and sisters in every way, except for sin. Here, Luke is emphasizing that glorious reality. Verse 40 is telling us that Jesus got right down into the muck and mire of our human experience. He lived it out for us. He lived it beautifully according to God's design for us and our salvation. The language that Luke used in verse 40 was meant to communicate the genuineness of Jesus' childhood experience, the humanness of Jesus' childhood experience. It was akin to the development of other Jewish boys growing up in devout Jewish homes, boys upon whom God had his hand of blessing and for whom God had a particular calling. So Luke employed familiar biblical language here in verse 40 to communicate the genuineness of that human childhood experience for Jesus. Luke echoed what was said in Judges chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, which describes Samson in much the same way. It says, "And the woman, the wife of Manoah, bore a son and called his name Samson, and the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." And it sounds a lot like 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 3, which describe Samuel this way: "And the boy grew in the presence of the Lord and continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man, and the Lord was with him." And it sounds like Luke's own description, doesn't it, of John the Baptist in chapter 1 and verse 80, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit." So Luke wants us to know that Jesus, in his humanity, was growing and becoming strong and knowing the favor of God as Samson and Samuel and John the Baptist did. Jesus grew and became strong physically. He nursed at his mother's breasts. He was weaned and then began to eat solid foods. No doubt he had his favorites. No doubt he had his requests around birthday celebration. "Mom, would you fix this? Mom, would you fix that?" Don't forget that his favorite birthday dish was also his favorite Christmas dish. Remember that. Remember that. Some of you have birthdays in the Christmas season. Jesus knows what that's like. Jesus went from being a helpless baby to growing stronger and taller. His body developed. His hormones developed. His voice deepened. His facial hair went from peach fuzz to whiskers. And no doubt he was excited about that, just like every teenage boy gets excited. "Look at that. Am I ready to shave yet, Dad?" "Yeah." He went from being taken care of to being able to take on bigger tasks in his father's carpentry business, more strenuous work, manly work. He was able to help provide for the family and protect his mother and siblings from harm. He went from having his diaper changed and being potty trained, whatever the first century equivalent of that was. Parents, don't lose heart. Jesus was potty trained too. You'll get through this. I remember distinctly one of our children in the process of that. I won't say which one. Don't want to embarrass. And the Lord reminded me, Jesus went through this. Mary and Joseph went through this with Jesus. God will get you through it too. He went from having his diaper changed and being potty trained to being a man. Who bravely carried a cross and stretched out his arms upon it to rescue us forever. He grew intellectually. He did not come out of the womb knowing Hebrew, knowing how to speak it or read it, knowing the scriptures or how to understand them or apply them. His parents taught him. Where do you think he learned all this? His parents taught him. We've already seen the devotion, the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph. His parents and his relatives and rabbis taught him these things. He would have resembled these people. He would have resembled, as a child, Mary in his looks and Mary and Joseph in their speech. Jesus was not a generic, robotic person. He had and he has a personality, a unique personality, unlike anybody else's, shaped by the family he grew up in, shaped by the town he grew up in. He had their accent. He didn't have the accent of somebody who grew up in Jerusalem or Athens. He had the accent of somebody who grew up in Nazareth. My Aunt Melba gave our boys a cassette tape. Children, do you know what a cassette tape is? And the label of it says it was when I was 3 or 4 years old. And it was me hosting a little radio show. Saying things like, "It's a cloudy day today." "And it's going to be a great day. Later we might go down to the park and swing on the swings. We might even go up to Tweetsie or down to Carrywinds. I'll be right back. I'm back. Bye." Jesus had an accent. Probably not like that, but he had an accent. It wasn't an Elkin accent. It was a Nazareth accent. And he probably kept it his whole life because he didn't, unlike us today, it wasn't a transient society. Like, he grew up there. He lived there his whole life, basically. He wasn't affected by the media and all the rest that changes the accent. He was comfortable with his accent. He was comfortable in his own skin. He wasn't trying to be somebody else. He was comfortable in who God made him to be. He's still comfortable in his own skin, by the way. which means we're not lost forever. He does not despise his humanity. He did not slough it off. He remains in it so that he can always be the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's how much he loves you. As Luke tells us, he was filled with wisdom. Later in verse 52, Luke tells us that he increased in wisdom. Again, he wasn't perfectly wise in the manger. Wisdom is the artful application of God's truth. Wisdom is not just hearing stuff or knowing stuff or jotting it down or talking about it. Wisdom is living it out, fleshing it out, applying God's word in every area of your life, your faith, your family, your relationships, your vocation, your avocations, your finances. It is living according to God's design through dependence on the Holy Spirit in such a way as to experience God's blessings and be a blessing in the lives of others. That's wisdom. Jesus matured in that. He increased in that. As Hebrews 5:8 puts it, he learned obedience. He learned it. He learned what it means to apply God's truth in everyday life and in the unique challenges that came his way because of his identity and mission. The words of God that he learned as a child on Mary's lap or on Joseph's knee in the home or in the synagogue, he later applied when Satan tempted him in the wilderness. And when he taught his disciples and pastored them, and as he made his way to the cross and suffered there. The wisdom he applied in little things, he later applied in big things, ultimate things, and was found faithful every step of the way. Jesus grew in wisdom because he revered his heavenly Father and sought to honor him. Job 28:28 says, "The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." No human being has ever grown in wisdom the way Jesus did or had the understanding that Jesus had, because no human being has ever feared the Lord or departed from evil as he did. Jesus alone was able to say, "I always do what pleases my Father in heaven." And thus the favor of God was upon him in a special way. God prospered the work of his hands. God heard his prayers because of his reverence, says Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. God heard and answered the prayers of Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, because of his reverence, because of his adoration and love and respect for his heavenly Father and his will. And God demonstrated that he accepted Jesus' perfect life and sacrifice on our behalf by raising him up from the dead. In verse 52, Luke goes on to tell us that Jesus increased in favor with God and man. Again, echoing what was said of Samuel. Jesus' parents loved him and nurtured him. All who heard him were amazed by his understanding from an early age. Men left their nets and tax offices and other livelihoods to follow him, and in some cases give their very lives for him. And people have been loving and serving and adoring him for 2,000 years like no one else. He is, after all, the Son of God. But Luke wanted us to know here in verse 40 that he really was the son of Mary. Fully human. Just as he is fully divine. Reminding us that he must be both to be our Savior. So first, the human development of Jesus, and second, why this is important for you and me. Just to drive home 3 points, which we've already touched on. 3 points. Jesus' human development made him relatable, makes him relatable. It was redeeming, and it is reproducible in your life. First, what we read about Jesus in verse 40 concerning his human development means that he is relatable. You say, does God want a relationship with me? Well, look at Jesus. Jesus is relatable. In Jesus, God is not far off. He has come near as one of us that he might have a relationship with us. Jesus understands what you are going through in your life. Are you a child this morning? Jesus has been there. Are you a teenager? He's been there. Are you a young adult or an adult? He's been there. Have you ever been forgotten, forsaken, left out? Misunderstood, betrayed, shunned, despised, rejected, slandered, mocked, or in pain? He's been there. He's felt it. He knows our human woe, as we sang earlier. He knows our weakness. He knows what it means to live in this fallen world. He knows the struggles and sorrows and sufferings of this life, and death itself. So whatever you are going through, he can relate to it, and he can help you in it, and he can heal your heart in it, and he can give you hope. As Hebrews 4 tells us, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, empathize, relate to, sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, boldness, courage, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive. It's a free gift. Receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus' human development makes him relatable. And his human development was redeeming. Again, we have failed. We get together every Sunday and we confess we failed. right? Confession of sin. We readily confess that. That's one of the great, I think that's one of the most wonderful attributes of Christians. We are a people who will confess we have messed up. We're no longer trying to justify ourselves. Now, we can fall into that tendency just like anybody else, but when we're in our right mind, we readily confess we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have failed in the course of our human development to love God and neighbor according to God's design. But Jesus, every step of his life on this earth, perfectly loved God and man, even laying down his life for those who despised, rejected, and killed him. Jesus incarnated the love that is patient and kind, that does not envy or boast, that is not arrogant or rude or insist on its own way, that is not irritable or resentful or rejoice in wrongdoings, but always rejoices in the truth. He loved like that. So this is amazing to think about, but this is what the Bible reveals. He loved like that from the time he was a child all the way to the altar of Calvary. And that is why he could be our lamb without blemish, whose blood washes away all our sins. Relatable, redeeming. And finally, the human development of Jesus, specifically his growth in living a life of love for God and others, is reproducible in your life. It won't happen perfectly this side of glory. We will be perfectly sanctified. Our personalities, you will still have your same personality. God made you unique. But you will have a perfectly sanctified personality. God is the God of variety. Heaven is not filled with a bunch of robotic, monochromatic sameness of beings. It's filled with perfectly sanctified individuals. So it is in the Church of Jesus Christ. We don't all become alike in our personalities. We become more like the character of Jesus in our personalities. When we hang on to pride, our lives look very different from Jesus. But when we confess our pride and we ask the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, the Holy Spirit graciously reproduces over time the character of Jesus in our lives. The Holy Spirit forms Christ in us spiritually, just as he formed Christ in the Virgin Mary physically. The Spirit of creativity and holiness and wisdom and understanding and the fear of the Lord who rested upon Jesus is the same Holy Spirit who lives within you as a believer in Jesus. And he will remake the image of Jesus in you as you yield your life to him. As you say to the Father, as Jesus said to the Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." So friends, let us give thanks for the humanity of Jesus and the human development of our Savior. Let us not keep to ourselves, but rather draw near to him because he is relatable. Let us trust him because he is our perfect Redeemer, the only Redeemer of sinners. And let us ask the Holy Spirit to reproduce his character in our lives to the glory of God, his Heavenly Father, and by grace, our Heavenly Father, too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.